One of the things that we tend to worry about quite a bit is whether or not there's enough financial support in our budget there to take care of all the needs. And we sort of know that God has promised to meet our needs, but on the other hand, when the week end of the week rolls around, it's time to pay some bills and stuff like that, we can really struggle with what should I do here, and is God really going to meet my needs? Chuck Swindoll tells a story about back when men were men and ships were made of iron, and the story comes from a group of men who landed in this special place, and they got digging and they discovered gold. And they broke up into two groups, and they decided that one group would dig for gold and uncover as much gold as possible, and the other group would plant seeds and shape the terrain and build some housing and get some food supplies in and make sure that the group would sustain itself. Well, they got so successful at finding gold that they began to borrow men from the planting and everything else, and they brought them over here and they had them dig for gold. And that created more success. So now they took their ship and they began to strip it and pull it apart and use the wood and the planking and stuff to fortify the tunnels that go down to the gold, you know, and they're getting that all in there. And Swindoll said, when all was said and done, there was nothing left, but when they were discovered many years ago, is a tunnel full of men whose bodies were draped over incredible riches. And he went on to say, there's nothing wrong with having. There's nothing wrong with having much. Jesus never attacked wealth. He always addressed motives. When we come to this passage today, we're going to see where the Lord is talking about the basics of life. Food, clothing, shelter, the things that we need, the things that God knows we need, and what should we as Christians think about that? Can we trust God for the basics in life? What should we trust God for? Well, if you look at that outline there, you notice that it says, you can't experience the good life that God gives. You can't experience that good life through possessions. That was last time's message. That was a couple of weeks ago. Today, what we're focusing in on is you don't have to worry about the good life if you serve God. He will supply it. Do you believe that, folks? Yeah, if you trust the Lord and you serve Him, He'll meet your needs, won't He? Absolutely, of course. Well, we're going to look at this in two sections today, and I'd like you to notice verses 22 through 30, the first paragraph. And my thought there is that worrying about getting and enjoying the good life is a faithless response to God. And for some reasons, we're going to look at that. But look at verse 22. He said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, they have no storeroom, no barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one single hour to his life's span? If you cannot do even a thing like that, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they spin, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I'll tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek that which you will eat nor what you will drink, and do not keep on worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things." He's talking in here, and you'll notice that he brings it up in verse 22. Let's just notice this. He says, "Do not worry." he brings it up in verse 25. Which of you by worrying, and then he adds some detail. Verse 26, why do you worry about these kind of matters? And you go on down to verse 29, he talks about worrying. And you see all through there that what he has in mind is the amount of mental energy that we spend worrying about whether we're going to have enough money to meet our needs, to pay our bills, to live the lifestyle that we'd really like to live. And one of the things that is going on in this passage is that Jesus is rebuking them for their estimation of God. You know, these worry questions demonstrate that they worry about whether God sees them as valuable or not. What do you think, folks? Does the Lord value us? Yes, absolutely. Turn with me to Psalm 139 for a minute. Why worry about things when the good Lord is really looking after us? Psalm 90. Just close your eyes and just soak up what these verses are saying. And just listen to this once. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Can all the generations trust the Lord? Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and it sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. He's going to repeat that phrase over and over again. And what he's basically saying there is that because we're sinners, we're always struggling with what's going on in our lives. You know, are we in fellowship with God? If we've confessed our sin, are we really forgiven? Is God out to get us as soon as we step out of line, or is he gracious toward us? What kind of a person is this God that we love and worship? Verse 9, for all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our lives, they can contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. That gives us a pretty realistic look at what life is like. God loves us. We have a tremendous future in store for us. But is this our home? This is not our home, and therefore we are not going to experience all the blessings of God in this lifetime. We're going to have a lot of blessings. We're going to serve God's purposes. We're going to be fruitful. He's going to look after us. But it's also true that we're sinners, and our years decline in a fury. You know, every minute of every day, I'm now conscious of where I walk and how I walk and where I'm putting my feet. Ever since that quadricep tendon tore off my kneecap and I had to go get that repaired, I'm aware that physically I'm on the decline. I'm 63, hate to admit it, but you know, that's just the way it goes. And therefore, what's important is to spend our lives in the most effective way that we can. Because don't we know that we're living in the light of a glorified body? Are we going to be perfect in every sense of the word? Is the Lord going to love us and take us home to glory? Yes. Absolutely. And are we going to rule and reign with Christ throughout all eternity? Yes. So there's in some sense that we need to have faith and relax and just enjoy the ride, right? And, you know, that's what the psalmist is trying to bring out here. This happens to be a prayer of Moses. But keep going in verse 11. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. That's what we need as a church family, is that we need a heart of wisdom. It's going to be really exciting to watch what happens in the weeks ahead. I think our congregation here on Sunday mornings will be probably about half. And the other half, I think, will be at the Saturday night service. But there's a reminder for you folks at that Saturday night service is that the high-quality, in-depth Sunday school classes are not available to you there at that yet and may not be ready for that for a year or two. So if we decide to keep going there, we're going to need to do some things to really strengthen our church family so that our family gets in-depth doctrine. People need in-depth doctrinal studies. Amen? Yeah. So we're excited about that new Saturday night service. We're not sure where it's going to go. We're committed to do it for 12 weeks, and then we'll see what happens. But so he says, so teach, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We're going to number those 3 months, and then we're going to present to God a heart of wisdom and ask him what he would like us to do. And we hope that God will bless that service. It'll be something new to the community, a new opportunity, a new alternative, and we'll just plug away with the folks we have on Sunday morning and keep on in our expositions, and I think it's going to be an exciting thing. Verse 13 says, do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. In the light of all that God has for us, the thing that we should do is to satisfy ourselves in our daily quiet time with his presence and with his words. And it just shows us that that God loves us. And like it says here, worry questions God's estimate of and response to our worth. Are we valuable to God? Absolutely. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 12 for just a minute and pick up our second thought here. In verses 25 through 28, he talks about not worry cannot add a single hour to our lifespan. And if you cannot even do a very little thing like that, why do you worry about other matters? So he's driving home this point on worry for us. And when we worry, worry disputes the ability of God to meet our needs and to provide for us. And he promises that he'll look after us. You want to see something interesting? Turn to Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The Lord's looking after us. And there's no dispute about his ability to provide for us. And that psalm reminds us that God is looking out for our interest, and he's going to care for us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. One of the things about worry is the first point we made. Worry questions God's estimate of and response to our worth. Worry disputes God's ability to provide for us. And here, worry doubts God's fatherly care for you. In this passage, in verses 9 through 13, we see something of God's fatherly care. We're taught to pray. It says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen? Yeah. And just as you look at that, you realize that those basic needs that are being addressed in this passage in Luke 12 are addressed also here. God promises that he'll take care of us and he'll look after us and he'll meet our needs. And what we're asked to do is to trust him and to be committed to him. And it's exciting to have somebody who's that tuned into us on a day in and day out basis. You ever wonder whether God really cares about your daily life? You ever wonder about whether he really is tuned into your needs? You ever wonder whether he really, really loves you? And the answer is he does. He loves us tremendously. Well, that's the first half, and I want to move into the second half of this message. Roman numeral 2 says, getting and enjoying the good life involves learning to apply kingdom truth in the present age of grace. You'll notice one of the things that, turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel is one of those great passages in Scripture, folks. If you look at verse 9, you see the contrast here between God the Father and God the Son. Look at verse 9, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I kept looking until thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Who is that? That's God the Father. His vesture was like white snow and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames and its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads, that would be 10,000 times 10,000 times 1,000 times 1,000. That's a lot. That's a lot of angelic beings. And then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking, talking about the Antichrist. And Daniel is a great prophecy that deals with the future tribulation period and the work of the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan in that period of time. So I kept looking, verse 11, I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension was granted to them for an appointed period of time. I kept looking in the visions and in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus. Was coming up, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him, this is the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples and nations and men from every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. When we move on in our study in Luke chapter 12 there, it says in verse 31, but seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. We look forward to that kingdom. We look forward to that time when the Lord Jesus Christ takes the reins of this world and begins to rule. We know that we're going to be there with Christ. We're going to rule and reign with him. That's the privilege of the church. And it's going to be one of those awesome, wonderful times. And we see that it takes place in the midst of conflict. The Antichrist is maneuvering to try to accomplish his purposes. The false prophet is the servant of the Antichrist, the preacher, so to speak, and the one who moves in people's lives. And of course, those two are energized by Satan. All of this is talked about in the book of Daniel and again in the book of Revelation. And one of the things that we know as Christians is that we are going to rule and reign with Christ in his coming kingdom. When that time comes, we're going to be with him, and we're going to rule with the Son of Man. And if you notice what the notes say, it says, the good life involves preparation for the kingdom reign of Christ. Turn with me just to check this out. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 25. Then the king will, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Talking to the Jewish people, talking to the Gentiles, these are the people who survive the tribulation period because they have faith. They don't have the mark of the beast on them, and they are going to inherit the kingdom. Where are we at this time? We are in heaven. We are observing what's going on. We are going to return with Christ. We're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, and I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me, sick, and you visited me, in prison, and you came to me. All those are truths of people who are in the tribulation period. Not us, by the grace of God. The true church will be raptured out of that period of time. And those people who are left will be evangelized in the early part of the tribulation period. They will come to Christ. Some of them will be martyred. But the good news for all of them is that the Lord Jesus is coming again. His angelic hosts are coming with him. You and I in the redeemed church are coming with him. We are coming to the battle of Armageddon. He will speak a word and he will slay the nations at that battle. And we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. It'll be two things. For one thing, it'll be a continual feast, a continual banquet. And at the same time, it'll be the opportunity to rule and reign with Christ over those people who are in their physical bodies in that kingdom period. And what a privilege it is for us. We know we're going to be there. We know where our future is. Amen, folks? Absolutely. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. And that's the first truth that we look at in verse 31. The good life involves preparation for the kingdom reign of Christ. Verse 32 has another truth in it. The good life involves receiving gifts from God the Father. Look at again at verse 32. Well, it would just help if I got in the right book. Here we go. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Is that an awesome promise? Yeah. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. God's going to give us the kingdom. And I want to show you something of what that'll be like. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Chapter 20. God is talking about his people Israel. We're going to rule and reign with Christ, but I want you to listen to these words. Beginning at verse 33 and going through verse 38. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you have been scattered. This is the Jewish people. With a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of peoples, and where I shall enter into judgment with you face to face. And as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I shall make you pass under the rod, and I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I shall purge from you the rebels, those who transgress against me. And I shall bring them out of the land where they are, where they sojourn, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. God says that he is going to, in the end times, pluck Israel out of the fire. And you and I are going to be there to serve his purposes. But these are just some of the gifts that await the church. We're going to be blessed. We're going to serve the Lord's purposes. We're going to work with him in the millennial kingdom. All of these people that enter into the millennial kingdom are redeemed people. And the gospel is going to be preached to them in the tribulation period. Just a tremendous time for us as a church to watch God. We're going to be in heaven. I don't know what kind of seating it's going to be, but... You know, we're going to have gone through the judgment seat of Christ. That'll be taken care of. All the tears will be wiped away. There'll be no more sadness or sorrow or anything else in our lives. And we're going to just absolutely enjoy watching, if you can imagine that, watching the tribulation period unfold. Because though it's going to be tragic in many ways, we are going to watch God work to redeem Israel. And he's going to bring Israel to himself, and he's going to bring the Gentiles to himself, and then we are going to rule and reign with God over Israel and the Gentiles for 1,000 years. That's called the millennial kingdom. And it's going to be a time of tremendous blessing for us. There'll never be another day of need in our lives. Can you imagine, folks, what it'll be like to rule and reign with Christ? Well, the last part of this goes on and finishes up in verses 33 and 34. So if you turn there, back to Luke chapter 12. He tells Israel, he says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, one of the things that God's looking at right now is he's looking at where our treasure is. You know, and Chuck and I have been saying for years, there's only two places to be. Either to be in the place of blessing or to be in the place of cursing. Either you're for God and his program and you're serving his purposes, or you're fighting against God and you're rebelling against him and you're struggling forever against his purposes. God, his will is eternal. It is unfolding. There is nothing anybody can do to change it. Therefore, either you get on board, you get on the right side of the will of God, you go with the purposes that God explains, you serve those purposes, and you look forward to the day when you step in his presence, or you fight against God. You're always angry about why things aren't going the way they should go, and you're always just constantly at war with God and his purposes. It's one way or the other, folks. You have to make a choice. And what he's saying in this passage is, the wisest thing to do is to serve God's purposes. The wisest thing to do is to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to equip you and train you to serve his God's, to serve his purposes. He wants every single person in this fellowship to be able to sit down, open up a Bible, and lead a person to Jesus Christ. Amen? Yep. And that is, if you can do that, you're going to be on the right side of God's eternal purposes. This is going to keep coming up as we finish up the Gospel of Luke, is over and over again, you're going to see these kingdom parables that teach us that Christ is going to rule and reign. And there is nobody that's going to change that. Nobody's going to interfere with that. He is going to do all his will, all that he has purposed. He will bring it about. And so we as a church decide, are we either going to get on the right side of that, or we're going to be at war with God all the time? What's it going to be? Are we going to be fully surrendered to him and willing to do what he wants us to do and reach out and win people to Jesus Christ and disciple them up, you know, or what? Why do we go to two services? So that we have better entertainment on Sunday mornings, better options for football and things like that? Or do we go to two services because it gives us a whole new audience, because it gives us an opportunity to reach out to people on Saturday night who are not available on Sundays? Which is it going to be? Well, it's really in our hearts that we make that decision. If we want to serve God's purposes and accomplish something great for him, then we need to be fully surrendered to him. And we need to be willing to have Sunday services and Saturday night services and flock groups that meet at different times during the week. Why? Because sooner or later we're connecting with somebody where we feel a need, and that slot is one that they can come to, they can be involved in. That's the whole purpose for why we do what we do. We just try to make the truth available to as many people as we can, as often as we can, and with as much clarity as we can. God is doing great things here, and these passages are wonderful to study. You know, I have a whole fistful of illustrations over here I was going to use. And once I get into something, I lose track of those illustrations. And anyway, I'm excited. I'm excited about the future of this church. I think we have laid a great foundation. If I die tomorrow, I'll be happy because the Lord, I believe I've done what I can do to set the foundation for Grace Bible Church. We have a tremendous group of people here who love God with all their heart and mind and soul and strength, who love the Word of God, who know the truth of it, who are submitted to it. God is going to bless us greatly. I believe we're going to go to two services, and the Saturday night service is going to prove very fruitful. Now, whether we can keep it going into the fall, that's something else, because Alton will be back into the youth ministry, and things will probably fall on Terry Kowak's shoulders for a while there with that. We're going to see where that's going to go. Right, Brother Terry? Yeah. Yeah. Right. We'll see where that's gonna go. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I just, as I look out over the church, I'm just thrilled at what God is doing here. He's given us a wonderful group of people. We've seen great blessing. We've been faithful to the Lord for 30-some years, and I think he's moving us. We've helped start an awesome church over in Rio. I think the opportunity is going to be for us to start one in Westfield and one up in the Dells on this side of the Dells, on the east side of the Dells. I just think that our influence is going to be extended, not because we want to control people, because we want to preach the truth, and we have an audience, and we want to get out there and do the work. We want to serve God's purposes. And I really think the Lord is blessing us tremendously already. Amen? Amen. Well, you never know. I don't know how much time I have as a pastor before the Lord calls me home to glory. But I tell you this, I love what I do. And I love serving God's purposes. And I know that we have to be alert for the man who can step into Sunday morning and do what I do. I figure I'm good for another 5 to 10 years if my body holds up. Right, hon? Yeah. But at least another 5 years anyway. But, you know, we need to continue developing leadership. We need to continue preaching the word. We need to continue reaching out into the community. We need to continue planting and starting new churches like at Ryle. I think that's going to happen up in Westfield. I could see us on the eastern side of the Dells. And anyway, I'm just excited what our future holds. But we need to be faithful. We need to make sure that we're taking care of business and looking after God's people. And we have just a great young crop of folks coming up through the ranks. I'm looking forward to that Saturday night service. It should be awesome. Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, we just really thank you for the great privilege that we have of getting into the Word and studying together and just thinking about what you're doing in this world. And we thank you as a church that we can be part of that. We thank you for the tremendous group of leaders that you've given us and the wonderful families and the faith that our church family has to move into new ministries. God, we just really thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we love you, and we look forward to serving your purposes. And we just thank you for leading us into the summer months now. We look forward to that new service starting next Saturday. And we also realize we need to be faithful to our Sunday school schedule next fall. So we don't know how to work all these details out just yet, Lord, but we know that you'll make it clear to us. And we're excited about what you're doing. And we just love you, Lord, and we thank you for these blessings in Christ's name. Amen.